Welcome back, everybody. Hi, I hope you're doing well. Thank you for tuning in. This is Henrik Palmgren, and you are listening to Red Ice Radio, an independent program with headquarters in Sweden on the Scandinavian Peninsula, highlighting everything between heaven and earth, all the corruption, all the conspiracies, and all kinds of madness that our world is plagued by. If you want to hear more of our radio shows, redicecreations.com and redicemembers.com is the place to go for more discussions, research, and opinions. And if you haven't already, subscribe to our RSS feeds and get all the latest shows and news to you as soon as they are available. We have John B. Wells with us today. He was the Saturday night host of Coast to Coast AM up until fairly recently. He was fired from the Premier Networks owned program, the largest syndication company in the United States, which in turn is owned by Clear Channel Communications. We are going to discuss some of the issues related to his termination today, specifically that of his outspokenness when it comes to the politics and the U.S. government. We are also going to discuss the issue of censorship of the media and how free speech is being squashed, but also where the country is going, or maybe sliding is a better term. We have a lot of topics on our plate today, so stay with us. Interesting discussion ahead. Hi, John B. It's great to have you with us again. Thank you for coming on. How have you been? Lots of changes, obviously, for you in the last 2 years, I think, since we last spoke.
The last 2 months feels like 2 years. It's just spectacular on this end. And thanks very much for having me on. It's been a little bit too long since we've spoken together.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was way too long. Congratulations on the new show. John, how's things going over there?
Pretty good. It reminds me of Robert Preston's character in this old movie called Dark at the Top of the Stairs, when he declared after a dry spell in his employment and so forth and domestic problems that followed with it, which happily I didn't have any of that, but he said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. And so that's where I am. I completely relate to that. It's somewhere between Robert Preston's character in that film and Dorothy's character in Wizard of Oz. Like, wow, so this is what it's like to be in a tornado, spinning around, where shall we land? So
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, I recognize that territory. We were, we've been in that in the last, the first couple of years, really, when we started up the radio show and everything. It's like, all right, how's this going to go? What's going to happen here? But it's a lot of fun, though. You have to kind of climb out on that limb, right, to take some chances and do something, out of the ordinary to actually achieve something out of the ordinary as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the thing is that what we all want is freedom to express ourselves and freedom to get into those areas that that we are really admonished not to when we're a part of corporate radio. And at the same time, there's also the part about now we really need to keep a governor on ourselves. Otherwise, we may depart from the paradigm that we really want to maintain, meaning... No ranting and raving. Let's just talk about it. And although some of the things that are going on in the United States and in the world make me want to rant and rave, yea, though I want to, I shall not rant nor rave. I'll just be calm and we'll be fine. We just need to keep our heads and don't get too crazy with it.
Yep. No, it sounds good. Now, tell us about what happened over at Coast to Coast AM then. And we don't, it's been... I think it's an interesting ride for you as well, then obviously to get on board there, of course, first of all, and then getting a quick notice as I perceived it. And of course, you're free to talk about that in any capacity that you want to, John, as well.
Well, and this is not, I appreciate that. And grateful for the opportunity to discuss a little bit. It was, this is not in the least bits insincere. It was just a dream come true to be able to be a part of the Coast to Coast AM family. It was great. I was a fan for so many years. And then, one little sit-in guest host deal in 2005. And then a couple of years, nothing happened. And then another one in 08. And then 09, I don't remember doing anything. But in 2010, a few requests to sit in. And then in 11, there were a bunch of them. And at the end of 11, they said... hey, would you like to take our Saturday position? Absolutely. And it was just so much fun to be there. And as time went on, I mean, I really had the idea that I'd be talking about, not necessarily paranormal or Bigfoot or any of that. I mean, those paranormals is interesting, but what are you going to do about it?
Right.
You can talk about it, but you can't really engage it. It sort of engages you when it wants to. And gradually, I mean, it was almost a perfect storm. The things that really needed to be talked about, I felt, and many other people felt, were not subjects they really wanted me to get into. And as time went on, it just seemed odd because, I mean, my response, this will put it into focus. It's like, if you don't want me to talk about these things, why are we booking guests that will talk about these things?
Right.
And then it was like, well, you can say the globalists and you can say the New World Order, but you can't say Obama.
All right.
It's like, well, I don't even want to speak his name, frankly. but if they speak his name, and then it got to the point where I say, listen, do not speak his name. I would say that over the air to the guests. It's like, just say your piece, but let's not say his name. We don't want to appear partisan. And then after a while, I thought, what are you doing? Let them say what they want. And there was another problem, too. And that problem is that I was not looking at the scoreboard. I was looking down the field and playing football, as it were. And but I did not realize the level of listenership on Saturday night. 750,000 to 1.2 million, compared with 275,000 to 300,000 Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Fridays were typically reserved for open line. So sometimes, and that was the average, 750 to 1.2 million. Sometimes the listenership on Saturday night was more than the combined total of the entire, you know, work week. And this was not helpful politically. right. No one contacted me and said, say, we can really do something here. It was more like, you know, once you let a leopard into your house by accident or however that might have happened, you have a decision to make. You either accommodate it or you get rid of it. And they chose the latter. And frankly, although I miss Coast to Coast AM, I don't miss midnight to 0400 because it destroys Saturday, Sunday, and Monday because you can't do much on Saturday because you'll never make it to 4 a.m. Sunday morning.
Right.
But I miss the listeners and I miss the callers and I miss being part of that crew. But it's the best thing that ever happened, really, because I was able to make so many friends out in listener land, and they have supported Caravan to Midnight with the .com after it, like nothing I ever imagined. I've never seen anything like this in my entire career of 36 years. It's just phenomenal. I'm grateful to Coast for putting me in the chair, and I'm grateful to the audience for coming with me when I left.
Yep, absolutely. Now, Clear Channel, Premier, Radio Networks, etc. There are just some sensitive top-down issues there. In other words, then that actually is not favorable on the channel, and this is ultimately, you believe, what led to your termination, shall we say, on Coast to Coast.
I think so, and let me take. As a matter of fact, ENE News, you know them. They actually had a couple of articles. One, an interview with Helen Caldicott, and then another. I don't even know who I was talking to, but they had said that they had quoted me, and I did say it. Radiation shows are scary, and you know the numbers go down, and nobody really wants any radio. I'm like, listen, this is a potential planet killer. Oh, do you really think so? Oh, absolutely, I think so. You know, they're the reason that Fukushima, that the world is not rushing to the aid of Japan is because there's nothing that can be done. I mean, that we know of now, unless it's some off-planet intervention or divine intervention. There is some real trouble over there, and it's just getting worse and worse. I mean, the cancer rates have gone up among children, thyroid cancers. Dr. Miller told me today, 400%.
Right.
It's just awful. But, oh, no, don't talk about that. And I did anyway. So you can't help but make, you know, if you have anything, if there's any creativity in one, then you can't help but try to make your spot your own. And if you try to appeal to everyone, well, you just appeal to no one. So I thought, okay, no formulas here. Let's just wait till the imaginary red light comes on. And at the end of the program, we'll find out if it was a good one or not so good. And I just played it from that angle, and it worked out pretty well. but they didn't want Fukushima talked about a lot. But eventually it became undeniable. And even, you know, I was calling the ship's captain, even though Mr. Norrie started talking about it quite a lot.
Right.
Because it's a horror. It's a tragedy. Japan, in my opinion, is gone.
Mm. Yeah, it's not, it was certainly not positive news. And it also then, of course, on top of everything, speaks volumes about overall corporate media. And I mean, it doesn't really, it's not really extraordinary in that regard. We, to a certain extent, we know this about mainstream media already, but I guess it's sad to realize that it kind of encroaches into this territory as well, where the paranormal and things like that is okay, but then if you walk it a little bit further into the political trenches, it becomes somewhat of a picky topic. So, but it shows a little bit some of the problems that we faced with overall then, John, in terms of the media, the fact that censorship is so active, despite, you know, the United States having a very long and proud tradition of free speech and people being able to talk about what they want to, right?
I agree with you completely. It's almost as though now the only thing that's safe to talk about is that which cannot be proved.
Right, exactly.
And as long as you can remain nebulous and theoretical, then fine. But, you know, don't let any facts interfere with a good story.
Relativism, that's where it's at, you know? So.
Yeah, and Clear Channel is a great big corporate monster. I don't understand. Last numbers I saw on them were they are now $21 billion in debt.
What?
And yet they've just they've just remodeled their offices on 55th in New York City. And when you walk into it, there's a mist, and on the mist is projected call letters and frequency numbers and so forth. And somebody made the comment, "Hey, couldn't you guys have gone a little easier on the remodeling and not had to fire so many people?" But it begs the question: $21 billion in debt. Now, one more time, how are you able to keep operating?
Yeah, exactly.
and I think we can sense the answer to that question without actually stating it.
Hmm. Now, your outspokenness on where America is going, though, politically as well, Obama's choices and the fact that America is being, turned more and more into a socialist state, basically. And that's my experiential years of living in Sweden in 33 years and just seeing how this is being modeled, you know, over in the U.S., very unfortunately. But is that part of this as well, Dan, do you think?
I think so. And when you and I spoke together on Coast to Coast on a Saturday night there, it was what you had to say about what a socialistic environment does to killing ambition and dreams was absolutely chilling. And it happens, but it is unusual to receive nothing but positive commentary in the form of emails and so forth, and some phone calls as well. But that was the situation with when you and I spoke together. There were no complaints. Only praise for what you had to say, because people just don't realize what they're getting into because they are so numb from talking points and phrases that have become cliche. They don't even hear them anymore. And they were distracted to start with, but when they realize, as they have become more aware of how shrouded in darkness they have been for so many decades, unfortunately, they're seeking more distraction.
Yeah,
because they just don't want to look at it. It's too dreadful.
Yeah, it's a very sad state of affairs between the attention span, between the lack of just historical perspective, and it puzzles me how we see these cycles kind of playing out like some kind of wicked force moving across the face of the earth, and at different times in different regions, you have the same kind of. I, from my perspective, call it a disease, really, that pops up and possesses people, for the lack of a better term. It's very, very strange, very sad.
Yes, it is. And, it really makes you wonder, how is this possible? When in talking with Dr. Miller today, he was an absolute delight. I said, you know, they say the ocean is full of life. I said, well, the air and space is full of life as well. And he said, absolutely it is. And it makes one wonder, is there some sort of off-planet influence here? Because surely people cannot be deaf to all of this information. And Dr. Miller said, information is now being used as a weapon. And that really put it into focus. I mean, it's just beyond anything that I thought was possible in this country, but it stems from the education system and how it has been. It's funny. I heard someone say one time, well, at university, we don't teach you academics. We teach you attitudes. And I think somebody at the grade school level on up through a high school has taken that and run with it, because that is primarily what is being taught now. There's a de-emphasis of academics and a real emphasis on attitudes.
Yeah, exactly. All the Fabian professors are widely dispersed in, I think, all the major Western universities at this stage. And it's just the incredible one-sidedness as well of all of these issues. So, okay, let's speculate here a little bit and see where this, because it's always good to set a kind of a little bit of a scenario for people who might not really be 100% certain of where we're going with this and where this might develop into. But in the case of America, and we can certainly talk about Europe and everything else later as well, but how do you see that this is going to transform as the younger generations grow up now in America and the attitudes is different? I mean, even from my perspective, I can even see when I watch some of the American entertainment, for example, and seeing how, you know, that these kinds of repetitions are made. Well, it's not the American dream anymore. It's the American nightmare. You know, that how things were has been destroyed and ruined. And it's just this kind of the loss of the belief in the system in itself that has also created a lot of the, you know, the weak spots in the system, as it were. And I'm not trying to argue that people should walk around again in a daze and be mesmerized by something which isn't there. But at the same time, the idea of that you can actually accomplish something or work hard, you know, that was something that set America, it was different than what it was in Europe and the way that people, you know, try to escape from their particular system at that time to they know that there were possibilities in America. And is that something you're seeing going away now and changing for good?
I see a lot of things going away here. The short answer to your question is yes, I do see it. It seems that the only real recognition that that we see in individual achievement, or rather of individual achievement, is somehow sports related, or that's pretty much it. Or the public is not paying as much attention to the opinions of their favorite actors and actresses anymore. But when patriotism becomes something that marks you as a psychopath or an undesirable, when to declare that you believe in the Constitution of the United States, that makes you radical and potentially some sort of a threat. When individual achievement is to be sacrificed for the so-called benefit of the collective, you know that that paradigm shift is occurring. And I think it'll be the millennials. I think it'll be the ones born from the mid 80s and later. They're not having any of this. They are realizing that you go to university, go to college for what? There are not enough jobs for all the college graduates. We're massively in debt once we're out of college or university. So what's the point? And they've just decided to create their own businesses and cut their own path and just depart from these established methods of getting a J-O-B. Because they're realizing there isn't one. If I hear the term "I'm overqualified" one more time, I'm going to live on a beach somewhere and forget about it altogether. It's strange. It's like having a bad flight instructor. A bad flight instructor will absolutely, well, certainly has the potential of killing the dream of being a flyer in persons who would otherwise be great aviators.
Yeah.
But the wrong teacher will, and the wrong mantra will result in exactly that. I mean, it really is like Fritz Lang's picture, Metropolis, more and more. That's what they want. The high ones live on high and they have no use for the working class other than to provide for them. They don't care what conditions they live in, and they don't. And now, I mean, as a perfect example of just how low these politicians, which in my opinion, politicians are absolutely the lowest form of human being known at this time. Yep. Now, illegal immigration is, it's a matter of love. I mean, I challenge anyone to make up anything as preposterous as that. And then, oh, the families are being destroyed if you deport anybody. There was just a story last week about how many hundreds of children are abandoned by their parents while the parents make their way to the U.S.-Mexico border.
Yeah.
This is not filial piety, in my opinion.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's such a good point. I don't understand how there is a justification for it, frankly, in that regard, that there is something to say for the fact that wherever you are, that's where you have to improve the conditions, as opposed to trying to run somewhere else and escape from those conditions. And maybe potentially, which is even worse than taking those conditions with you, right? It should be a dispersal of the mechanism that brought, welfare, and I don't mean the socialist welfare necessarily from the state, but the welfare for people that they can manage and, you know, take care of themselves, build up their own businesses, work and improve on the conditions around them, right? This is something you want to have spread to all of the world. Now it seems it's a reverse. It's Europe as well, specifically, it's just being flooded, mass immigration, and it's just lowering the standards of everybody, you know? And at some point there has to be a sensible question, like, okay, how much do you sacrifice for your, you know, of yourself and even what your, great grandparents and your ancestors, you know, worked to build up for other people and letting that be destroyed in itself. And I'm not trying to oust anybody or say, you know, that they don't deserve it or whatever, but there is something to say for the fact that there has to be a self-drive there, right? And lifting yourself up from the ground as opposed to just finding a system that can support you, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think what's going on in the world, and Europe is having terrible immigration problems too. The Italians and the Germans and then the English. The UK is just it's about to turn Muslim. It really is. Yep. And I think, what was it? Was it Denmark that said, you know, we need to build, there was something like they were proposing a love fest. It's like, come on, let's make some more children. We need to do this. And we do need to do this. Look, all of this is one gigantic, look, if it's not one massive psychological operation, if it is not a massive psyops, then it'll certainly do until the massive diabolical psyops gets here. Do we think that they don't know that these cell phones, which are omnipresent now, cause sperm death? Do we think that they care about that? 7 billion people on the planet, most assuredly there is a depopulation agenda in the works. All these GMO foods, high fructose corn syrup, aspartame everywhere in the soft drinks. Now they've linked to diet drinks. All that took for me was one sip, and I knew they were bad for your health. That was, 40 years ago.
Right.
But yeah, it's linked directly to diabetes, heart disease, death, you know, the D word and so forth. And you look at this, and, you know, I can draw a parallel to the way Clear Channel, and Clear Channel was a great client for a long time. They really were. But starting in about 05, it began to get a little wonky. And so if they think I'm picking on them, well, then maybe I am. And maybe it's time for a little payback. But here's the thing. You take any given city, or actually market. I thought I lived in a city. It turns out it's a market. But you've got the cowboy station, you've got a rock station, you've got an urban station, and you've got a beautiful music station. Well, you know, country music's popular right now, so the cowboy station is beating everybody up. Well, we've just had a new wave of music, so the alternative music station and the rock station is doing pretty well, but there must be an easier way for us to make more money. I know. Let's just buy all of the stations. That way, we're only competing with ourselves, and we can absorb those losses. I think it's the same model as far as this new world order is concerned. It's much easier if we make it into one giant country where we're only competing with each other. It doesn't matter which country has the highest gross domestic product.
Right.
It doesn't matter which country has the highest output of whatever. And it makes it so, and then, If we get us geographically into one big homogenous goo, then the next thing to follow would be get the money into one big homogenous goo, And that way we can just, it'll be so much easier to steal money. So much easier. We won't have to bother with those troublesome currency exchanges, and it'll just be fine. It'll all be digital. And that's what's happening.
Yep.
First is the economy rotation, which is what we're doing now. First, Japan was blowing and going, and then America came back up for a while. And then the Germans have always been highly productive people, always. And now China's it. But what really got my attention the other day is how the Defense Department in this country is concerned that they may have trouble because of this latest Ukraine crisis in obtaining the rocket motors from Russia that we need in our rockets to launch our satellites. Hmm. Now, wait a minute. Hmm. And now, how long have we been buying rocket motors from, I guess it's a rocket engine because it's only one way. A motor goes both ways, right? All you have to do is reverse the field. Sorry.
Right.
I don't know how long we've been using Russian rocket engines. I do know that a guy let it out of the bag during a Discovery Channel story on the SR-71 Blackbird, the big Lockheed Martin, big Lockheed spy plane. We had to partner with Russia to get enough titanium to be able to build the thing so that we could get it aloft and spy on them. What? And as you start looking at this, right, you go, the Bolshevik Revolution was backed by European bankers.
Yeah.
World War One, same deal. Politician, bankers, war. World War Two, same deal. Vietnam, same deal. So look, this has been going on for over 100 years, and we're just now waking up to it. And they don't want us to wake up to it. That's why we're being met with so much political opposition and the law enforcement and security services to go with it. That's why all the NSA spying and everything else. They just don't want us to wake up. But unfortunately for them, we are.
Well, exactly. They're definitely above the nation state, and there isn't such a thing as a, you know, patriotic company anymore. These are multinationals. They're making more money, some of them, than countries are. You know, just look at Apple's. I mean, tremendous just revenue, and that's where it's at, right? That's what they're seeking to do. And I think that what people miss in some regard is that they are mesmerized by the linguistics of what the social engineers are offering people and telling us about what the future will be like. As you said, it will be like a big love fest, right? That's kind of the incentive that people are going for, but they don't understand at some point that they're being sold a lie and they're being sold something for the purposes of control. There's a certain set of parameters that you can apply to people to get them completely, you know, under your wing, basically, and control them very, very efficiently. And there's a number of experiments, political laboratories that have been taking place, I think, on the planet in different times, in different sections. But now, as you said, now is the time to try to bring this all together in some way, promote a certain type of model. And I mean, slowly but surely, it is becoming just the one culture as well, with invasions, with setting up of central banks and everything else. So that's really the key right there. And also to understand then that it's not for the betterment of mankind that this is occurring. It's a negative aspect, but it's being sold as some kind of positive, beautiful thing that we're all, you know, no more wars, right? No more, we're all going to love each other, and that's going to be it. But people have to see through that. They have to wake up to these possibilities. What part of this do you think that has to do with just seeing through the language? And again, with what the media keeps repeating over and over and over again. I mean, the bandwidth, if you will, the different versions of what coming out in the media is basically non-existent now. There's only just singing from the one song sheet, right?
Yes, I think that's mostly almost completely true. There are a couple of exceptions, and as much as I find even certain elements of Fox News, for example, to be, you know, equally nauseating to the other ones, it's
certainly
at its most nauseating, it's less nauseating than the socialist left-leaning networks. That would be ABC, CBS, and NBC.
Yeah.
Judge Jeanine Pirro, for example, man, she's mean. She acquires that target, and I mean, she puts words of iron on it. But they got rid of Judge Napolitano because he was putting a little bit too much iron on the target.
Right. Yeah.
They glorify war. They make peace appear to be boring and, you know, languid and just not exciting at all. And that's just not the case. And I've said recently, you know, we want peace, but we want the exciting peace. We want the peace of exploration and discovery and invention and so forth.
Exactly.
But they talk all of that stuff down. And, you know, I may have the buildings incorrect here, but I believe it's the Cloisters in New York. were built just after the turn of the 20th century. And they were positioned in a way that the rich people who lived there were able to look down on the poor people. And they found it wonderful and colorful to see these people living in squalor, and they could be viewed from their lofty heights.
Like a museum exhibit kind of thing.
This is the perversion of the rich, and particularly to that class of rich whose riches came not from their own efforts, but from the efforts of others. That money is the lubricant for ever more perversion, the machinery of perversion. And of course, the ultimate pornography is murder. And the ultimate pornography is murder on a mass scale, and that would be warfare.
Yeah.
They love it. They love it. This is no different than the Roman Colosseum. And then, of course, we turn on. Let's go to Fox News again. And it's, how are we supposed to feel as people seeing some brave soldier who really bought the line that he was defending our freedom here at home, and he's all shot to hell, or he's missing limbs, and or he's been had an improvised explosive device go off near him, and now he, you know, it's all he can do to just think straight, and you see his wife's crying, and his little girl, he's holding his little girl or his little boy or something like that. And it's like, you know, contribute to the Wounded Warrior Project because the government's not taking very good care of them is the unspoken part, and we need civilian support for that. But, you know, we don't see the heroic figures of yes, you know, I went over there, I seen my duty and I'd done it. And I took a few hits, got wounded, but it's all right. We don't see strength. We see injury. We see misery. We see the blowback from these injuries and how it has devastated families in some cases.
Yeah.
What do we think that this does to our psyche to see this? And what makes it particularly sickening is the fact that the greatest threat to our freedom here at home is here at home. Our government is fine. I like this government. But the criminals who currently occupy it need to be removed, and frankly, by whatever means is necessary.
It's a good point you bring up. It's the traumatization of those aspects is, of course, to make people, you know, shut up and enjoy your freedom, because these guys are paid real good for it. And if you don't appreciate that, you're a hater of this gentleman right here. And it's a very easy way of kind of turning the tables on people in that regard. But the question is then, you know, at what point does, I guess it's the endless debate that's been going on when it comes to American foreign policy since, really Second World War, but really ramping up after that point as well. To what extent does freedom needs to be, you know, protected over there as opposed to, you know, back home? Americans are they not paying enough already for all the wars and for all the taxes that's being used, running away into the defense budget and the black budget, the DARPA budget and everything else? There's just, when is it going to end, John?
When we all decide to just stop. There will be no marching to the palace with our pitchforks and torches, because they'll have those heat rays that they set up. It actually makes you feel when they point it at you and let it off, you actually feel like you're burning, and you are. If you keep pushing toward it, you'll see the blisters appear on your skin. There won't be any of that. The only way to, if we were to just, as I say, if you want something to go away, stop buying it. Dr. Miller said today that, take Walmart, for example. If only 5% of the people who shop there were suddenly to just say, no, we're not shopping there anymore. We're not going to do it. We're going to declare a moratorium on spending anything. It would not be long before they were suffering financially at a dreadful level. And that's really true. I believe that we can't fight it hand to hand with our shovels and pitchforks and so forth. But what we can do is, like the old Dr. Seuss story. Everybody calls him Dr. Seuss, but I think it's Dr. Seuss. there was a story about a turtle who wanted to be king. And so he was grumpy, and he told all the other turtles, listen, I'm going to be king. So I want you lot to just stack yourselves up so that I can be on top. And as the story progresses, there's a deal about the one that was on the bottom. I remember the line out of the book. It was, he burped, and his burp shook the throne of the king. And the king was toppled down from his lofty perch, and he is now king of the mud, for that is all he can see, because he just splashed into the pond or the river or whatever and right. came up, and he's just covered in mud. That's what's going to have to be. We're going to have to do a mighty burp, which will shake the throne of the king and make them king of the mud, because that's all they can see now. Their names need to be put on a list. And I believe that this Racketeering Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act, the RICO Act, should be employed, and lawsuits should be filed on the civil level, and bring these people to court and make sure that the media covers it and tell them, if you don't cover this, we will boycott your sponsors and you'll be out of business. You'll be bankrupt. Without sponsors, what are you going to do? Are you going to get some money from the government to prop you up the way that General Motors did? Well, if this happens, then we'll simply turn you off, the same way that we turned off Air America, the same way that that MSNBC is going. Look, Congress has a 17% approval rating? The president's rating is far below 50%. But they just go on. Operation doesn't skip a beat. They they just keep talking the talk. But the fact is that the people are getting tired of it. And eventually what they're going to do is go, you know what? We're stocked up. We're just going to take a month off and just see what happens then.
I thought that the corporate welfare for the media companies was already happening to a certain extent, that they are actually, some are actually losing revenue, but they keep going anyway, right? And they refuse basically to change their programming. But you can see a little bit here and there in certain programs, if you watch it, how they're trying to kind of cater to some kind of, I'm kind of hesitant to say alternative audience, but there's some kind of strife for trying to do something which is a little bit more, deeper and engaging to a certain extent, but you still have that kind of veneer of falseness to it, so it doesn't really work. But you're absolutely right. I think that people just have to, what they already are doing, they're just dropping off from it and they're finding other venues and finding other ways of getting their information. That's where it's at. I mean, where collectivism really could work, in the instance that you brought up about Walmart, for example, usually doesn't work, unfortunately, but it works often in a negative sense. But in this case, I mean, why Americans want to support their own, neighbors and the local businesses and the small people who are doing the jobs, and instead of going to these mega chains, because they want the cheap crap, temporarily, something that works for couple of days and then it breaks, and then they're back at square one again, but at least it was cheap when you bought it, right? So that's kind of where it's at. There's a whole remodeling that have to occur for this huge edifice to begin to crumble, but it still boils down to what you just said. It goes to the individual level where you make those conscious decisions at every step of the way, and thereby hopefully you can spread that further out, and we could see just a kind of a natural shift, if you will, of the power distribution. What do you think, John?
I don't know where that. I think you just said it all. I think you just said it all. I'd like to do me a favor. Can you boil that down into one into a short question?
I brought too many points up at once. That no, but let's talk. We can break that down a little bit. Corporate welfare for media companies, right? The media just losing its audience. That's something that's already is happening, right?
Yes, and it's interesting. Just like that thing about us purchasing Russian rocket engines for our rockets to send satellites into space. One of the things I find interesting. It's just like lawyers, politicians, anybody else. They're all yelling at each other, and then in public. And then it's like, okay, see you for another round of golf next weekend, as they're shaking hands and exchanging the money, whoever won the bet, whoever shot the best round of golf. We find people coming over from big corporations like Cumulus. They come over and they take high positions at Premier and at Clear Channel. So these guys they know each other. They work together. And how otherwise could a company with $21 billion in debt carry on? unless the government is backing them up, how do these guys keep going? Because they're sure not doing it with ad revenue.
No.
And of course, I don't remember the other company. There are two companies that are involved, but one of them is Bain Capital. And of course, Mitt Romney had had and may still have an interest in that company. And you think to yourself, well, these companies don't hold a gun to anybody's head to do any business with them. Let's go to Bain Capital and see if they'll buy us, because we've got lots of debt, and they'll give us money, and they'll strip it down, they'll make it profitable, and then they'll sell it or something. That's not what's going on here. What's going on is those corporations, I haven't heard anything about Cumulus at all. This is strictly Clear Channel, but they continue their operations as if nothing had happened. How is this possible with that level of debt?
Yeah, it beats me, but exactly, I think you're right. I think that they are being propped up, and would be interesting to see. I can't recall if there were any media companies actually getting money during the bailouts and everything else. I know that there's a lot of foreign banks or, European banks and Asian banks and everything else, and a lot of foreign companies overall as well, not just the banks. But in this case, I'm not sure about the media companies. But I think that natural just kind of progression of people slowly leaving and they trying to reiterate the same points over and over and over again, and eventually they're just going to stand there with no one listening. And the question is the same about the political system. Then if more and more people just drop off, at what percentage rate of engagement in the political system of voting will they just seize and say, okay, something's wrong here. We only have, I don't know, 10% voting. We only have 5 or 50, at what number are they going to self-examinate themselves? I mean, they're never going to do that probably, right? They're just going to keep going.
Yes, they will, because they are locked into that mindset. There's a thing we learned in aviation training about getting a set. And you must not do this because you will be unable to call on your flexibility, the flexibility of your skills, and avert a potential disaster. You will develop a set, and these corporations are locked into these sets. Now, the only the only exception to this rule that I can think of at this moment is, we've just lost another banker. I believe his wife and daughter went also to an apparent suicide. Why are all these suicides happening within the banking mm-hmm. community?
Yeah.
And why are most of them formerly with JP Morgan Chase? So I don't think we're going to find any media people doing that unless there's there's some sort of a financial connection. And I can't imagine that'll be the case. But it's much like these other channels. MSNBC is the most left-leaning news organization out there. Somehow they stay on the air. Their numbers are in the tank. There's no one watching. I mean, there's some people watching, but not many. But they carry on. You flip on your cable box and there it'll be. Satellite box, there they are, just spewing that stuff out. But eventually, the Piers Morgans go down the road, and there's another one now. I can't remember his first name. His last name's Farrow. Now, Mia Farrow can't figure out if he's Woody Allen's kid or Sinatra's. I think he looks more like Sinatra myself. His numbers are tanking. He may have to go down the road if he hasn't already. So they're going to keep throwing stuff against the wall to see if anything sticks, just because that's what they do. But in reality, they are losing their credibility. No one believes anything that comes out of their mouths anymore. And yet they sit there with that look on their faces, with the "please believe us" look on their faces. Like this guy, I think he was on NBC. I could be wrong, but I think it was NBC. He's one of the big anchors there, talking about how the earth is totally over with. It's done for unless this climate change is addressed. And what these morons apparently don't understand is that you're going to have to take that up with the sun, because the sun controls all of the weather on this planet. Human beings, no matter what they do outside of nuclear issues, and even that, you cannot influence, no matter how many SUVs you drive, you're not going to influence solar activity. And when a scientist says, and a gaggle of scientists say, this is the lowest sunspot activity in the last 100 years, you're going to see some climate change, which we used to refer to as weather changes.
Yep.
I mean, it's all talking points now. It's weird. It really is a phenomenon. Just as you see children sitting in a little pizza place, sitting next to each other, and they're not talking, they're texting. This is, all this connectivity has done more to disconnect us from each other than anything else. Have you seen that movie, Her, with Joaquin
Phoenix? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I recall a little bit from it. He's marrying some kind of machine, right? An artificial intelligence or something like that?
Yeah, all these people are walking around and they're enamored, they're in love, their significant other is this thing that's not even real, and they don't pay any attention to each other in their three-dimensional actual human form. This is a glimpse into the future. If this idiocy is allowed to continue, certainly a variation of what is seen in that movie will come to pass in our reality, and it won't be a work of fiction anymore. It'll be the way it is.
Oh, and that's going to be mistaken for wonderful connectedness, right? When the worldwide mind is there, you'll be in instant communication with everybody, but it will be based on that kind of the false type of communication, the false type of premise that gives you an idea that it's still, you know, that you're being social. But that's kind of to expect, I guess, from the short attention span of the Twitter and the Flickr generations. It's just, that's where it's at, you know? And I think that the whole transhumanist field is just perfectly fitting into everything so far that we've been talking about how mankind is going to merge into that technology for basically purposes that people are, you know, beginning to feel more and more empty. There's no purpose to certain things, and it comes hand in hand with the scientific dictatorship. And I think that it's a real crossing point there. Either people begin to choose a different path, or we're just going to go down the tubes on that end. That's not a very promising way out of this one, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, so many things. I mean, people in many different cultures will refer to something as being written. In other words, it's just the way it is. Going back to the Holy Scriptures, when Solomon said, the thing that shall be is the thing that hath been, and that which shall be done hath already been done. Why would somebody write something like that? It may be that we, at least in our present configuration, may have to just walk through this. In other words, you got to go through the stuff before you find out that you don't really have to go through the stuff. But being of the mindset that we are now collectively, yeah, we're going to have to go through the trouble before we realize that we didn't have to go through it at all. And Dr. Miller said some very interesting things. In a nutshell, it's just disconnect from this matrix that you behold and find out, go inside yourself and really think about this. What is your mission? What do you want out of this life? I mean, look, we've destroyed the family in this country because of the lure of more. We don't need one car. We need two cars. And actually, we need three cars just in case, well, one of the two drivers in the family needs to drive that day, but their car's on the blink. So we've got a third one for backup. Consume, 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 enjoy. Just like THX 1138, consume. You must consume. That is what we do now. We consume. Now, what happens if we stop consuming? You know, I actually read the entire back of a credit card bill 30 years ago. I thought, I'm just going to sit down, I'm going to read this thing. And I needed a huge magnifying glass to be able to read it at all. Mm-hmm. In those days, I was nearsighted, so I could see quite well up close. Now it's gone the other way. Anyway, it took about 30 minutes to read this. And I sat back in my chair and I thought, you know, I only know about M1, that's the cash and the checks and the savings accounts and so forth, and then M2, the bonds and T-bills and CDs and so forth. If somebody decided now, 2 weeks from tomorrow, all of these bills are due and payable, there's not enough money in the system to pay it all. I saw that 30 years ago. Did anybody say anything about it on television? Not a thing. So we are just hypnotized by by advertising. I mean, television to me, 99% of television right now is absolutely the most damaging influence that has ever been foisted on the human race. The correct colors, the correct images, the correct voice, the correct music, all of these things really influence people. You can have something, some possession, and you like it, you're fine. It's one of those rare things. Every time you see it, you're happy that you have it. It makes you happy when you see it. But the right advertising campaign can make you look at it with disappointment, and now you don't want it anymore. You want that. Because that will make you more like Brad Pitt, or that will make you more like Wahlberg, who, by the way, is a very cool guy. You know, you just depart from what you were satisfied with, and now the only thing you have is what you're after. The next thing, the next purchase, the next acquisition. This is the road to ruin, and we're almost there.
It's the new religion for sure. That's where it's at. I think it comes hand in hand with a more kind of purposelessness attitude towards everything, basically. And that's something we could talk a little bit more about later here after we return after the break, John. I want to take a little pause here and let's talk a little bit more about Caravan to Midnight, though. Tell us about some of the shows you've on there, how people can listen and tune in now to you and follow you more regularly over there. I know that you put up some shows on YouTube as well, I believe, but correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Well, you know, there's this, let us just say that some of the listeners / viewers have been so enthusiastic that they decided to put it up on YouTube themselves. But
oh, I know that one. Really, I know that one. Yeah,
we didn't really sanction that, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's okay. I mean, one guy, bless their hearts, some of them are like, Wells is having, John B's having technical difficulties. We got to help him out. So I'm going to go ahead and post all of his shows on my site. It's like, no, dude, don't do that. You're ripping off the subscribers. Stop it. But you know, it's caravantomidnight.com. No numbers and no fanciful spelling of midnight. Just the words, caravantomidnight.com. And it's a subscription service. But we have several, we have three levels, 3 months for 15, 6 months for 30, and a year if you want to take the plunge for $60. So we do four shows per week, Monday through Thursday, but sometimes and they're supposed to be 3 hours long, but sometimes they're 2 hours and 45 minutes, and sometimes they're almost 4 hours long. So because we are not yet streaming live, which we hope to do very soon, in fact, we don't hope to do, we will do very soon. We're not rigidly set in that schedule. So if the guest wants to go on and talk longer, we're not going to say, oh, well, we're out of time. See you later. I understand that that's possible. We're right. You know, it's you have to do it. It's necessary. I mean, not possible. It's necessary in some formats. But presently, we can just kind of do what we want. And so we do. And there's just been some excellent people come on. The Gorilla Economist. Man, he was talking about things I've never even heard of before. And then another one named W. He's a security and intelligence analyst. And again, Dr. Judy Wood and Dr. Miller and actually Wolfgang Halbig.
That was a fascinating story. You got a hold of him? That's great.
Yes, we did, and spoke with him for a long time. And it either that was the most unusual criminal event ever at Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or nothing happened at all. And it's beginning to look like nothing happened at all because he was threatened by state police in Connecticut with arrest and charges if he did not stop asking questions. Now, what does that tell us?
He was such a great guy, just a straight shooter, you know, just there to investigate it and just found all these holes in it. You know, it's just amazing.
Yeah, he found great big gaping holes in it. He found irregularities that nobody could even make up, because people would say, if you put this in the story, people are going to think it's stupid. But this is actually the official narrative. And it's quite a commentary on what they attempted to do, which is to, they're quite afraid of an armed populace. They do not want firearms in the citizens' hands, but unfortunately for them, the citizens aren't going to let them go. UN, now they're trying to invoke the power of the UN to do this. Don't try and pull this in the southern states. You might be able to get away with it in some of the northern states. In the Midwest and the South, you can forget that. I don't think that it'll even go over in the West. It'll only be an isolated pocket in the Northeast. It's like, oh, it's the United Nations. They're a force for good in the world. Really? Look at their track record. Everywhere the United Nations goes, chaos follows.
Yep. So. Very, very good, John. Well, we'll pick this up right after the break here. Caravan2midnight.com. That's the website, John B. Wells' new channel. So if you want to tune in and hear more from John, please do that there. We'll have that linked up as well. We'll take a short break here, John. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more.